Good evening. I think we all are going to recognize this particular title. You are what you practice. And I grew up hearing that. You are what you practice. So I kind of also shared that a lot when I taught at our little school here and over the years. You are what you practice, so make sure what you practice is right. So, you know, it's so true. And God does us a favor with our circumstances. Now, sometimes we might not like our circumstances, but God gives us these kind of gnarly circumstances sometimes so we can practice what's right. It's like He's a great teacher. He knows that our broken thinker and our broken wanter and our broken feeler that we inherited from Adam, not from God, from Adam's disobedience, were made right with Jesus, as we all know here. And the entrance of Jesus has God's nature come in us. Now you can win. Before, you just had the Adam nature. Loser. That's it. You're done. That's it. You're going to go where the Adam nature goes. The Adam nature is unclean. Nothing unclean can be in God's presence. So if that's all you have inhabiting you, that's where you're going, away from God. But with the Lord inside, it doesn't happen overnight, though. And you can love God with all your heart. Do not be discouraged. Because sometimes God knows when your levels of the Adam nature are too high and need to be put back and put down. So He'll give you an opportunity. He'll actually construct an opportunity that looks a little uncomfortable for you. And some of these are very light as we come along the road, and some of them are much deeper because there's much that He has to do. But whatever happens, we have to practice what is right in His sight. And, I mean, just something as simple as I was driving back from Sarasota this afternoon. And this guy was, like, tailing me. You know, I mean, you know how they travel, you know, I'm already doing 75 ago. I think I'm, you know, it was like 70. I got to slow down here. I'm in the outside lane. He comes right up behind me. Well, the person in front of me, which I don't think he saw because his car was lower than my van, the person in front of me puts on their brakes for some reason. Well, I put on my brakes. Well, this guy got really angry. He flies around. Now, this is at 70, 75 miles an hour. Flies around in front of me. Puts on his brakes. Yeah. And I'm going.
Yeah, he thought
now,
you were messed
up. Oh, yeah, he thought I was messed, but he didn't see the car in front of me. By the time he came around me, that car, you know, for some whatever he stopped, I don't know why, you know, and then he just sped off. So this guy, what came up in me was really, I said, what the heck, where'd that come from? Yeah. I'm there going, you idiot, what are you doing? You trying to teach me a lesson? I'll teach you a lesson. I'm going to ram right up your bingity bing. You know, and I'm going, where did that come from, God? What? I just came from sharing your holiness. I just came from prayer. I just came from ministering in a godly, pure way. Where in the world? And I go, Lord, you must have hit my pride button. You go, show me. You know, I was like, what's still alive in there? Now, you see, I didn't practice it. You cut it off. The minute you get that recognition, you cut it off. God, forgive me. I don't want anything unclean. I don't want unclean thought. Start praying for that individual. If you did that to me, you may do that down the road. You're going to cause an accident. God, please, have mercy. So you get an opportunity to practice the right thing. And just because you might get a little front-loaded there, you're not practicing that. Cut it off right then and there. Practice what is right. But how are you going to know what's right? Unless you get into those scriptures, you're not going to know how God thinks and what God wants and how God feels. That is our map. That is our guideline. Not religious rules. There were many rules in the Old Testament. They were guidelines for the people, but every single one of them had deep spiritual meaning for where we are today. But Jesus wasn't back there. And the obedience of the laws in whatever era it was considered righteousness to God. And it only kept His wrath away from the people who obeyed. It did not forgive them their sins. All the animal sacrifices, all the ablutions, all the ceremonial, traditional whatevers did not forgive them of their sins. It just held the wrath of God in abeyance. But we're up here after Jesus in the New Testament. A new covenant, a new and living way, which is so much richer and better and deeper. And it cannot be done with your Adam nature. You got to crucify that flesh every time it comes up, whether you're driving down the road or whether your husband just said he's leaving. I don't care if you just found out your kid has leukemia. whatever circumstance, light or heavy, you got to practice putting down that nature. And I tell you, God, I guarantee God's going to have you run into people that are going to aggravate you to death. And it's going to be, it'll quiet down, then it'll poke up again. It'll quiet down, then it'll poke up again. Everyone who's married can tell you that. Jeez. Any relationship is going to tell you that. It rises up, it goes down. It rises up, it goes down. But the point is, what are you practicing? When nothing's rising up and everything is good and smooth and you're right and you're holy, great, keep going. But when something wrong rises up, what do you do? What do you practice? The question that each one of us needs to answer. And in Romans 12, if you'll take a look at that, very powerful what God says. These are guidelines for us. Guidelines. And there's none better. This is like so powerful. And starting in verse 9, he says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor." He goes on in verse 11. "Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer." Devoted to prayer. Whoa. Verse 13, "contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not." Well, you know, that kind of came back to my mind when I'm driving down the road and the guy does that. "Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same," meaning equal. Not same like everyone think like robots. "Be of equal mind toward one another," that you don't hold one above the other. "But do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation." "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men." And God had to tell us that because there's times when you want to make peace and they don't. So you just make sure, as far as you're concerned, that you do, and leave the rest to God. Mm-hmm. Verse 19, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. Let him handle that," because he's the only one with perfect justice. He never pulls out the knife or the gun, you see, just to get a gnat out of the way, or something that's annoying or aggravating or dirty. He has perfect justice. There'll be no wrath without his perfect justice. It says, "Leave the wrath for God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy," now God's clarifying it for us, "if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Ooh, that's a tough one. I want to get you good. You do evil to me, honey. We'll let God take care of his revenge, but I want to get a pop in there first. Mm-mm. God says, you got to fight that feeling when it comes up. Practice doing what God says. So I kind of went over, there's a lot of scripture. I'm not going to go over every scripture here, but I kind of went through a whole bunch of scriptures and saw some things, what he told us here, what he tells us in some other scriptures. And you can see some of the, these are just a few. This is not an inclusive list of some of the problems we run into. But there is a solution. There's a resolution in God. For any kind of anger, God tells us kindness is what you practice. So instead of anger, and anger can be anything. Someone taking your parking space, you know, someone ripping off, you know, someone stealing your equipment. I mean, just, there's, you know, someone saying something stupid. I don't care what it is. In man's eyes, there are justifiable moments of anger. But that heated passion that we tend to come up with is not God's anger. God talks about a righteous anger. He wants you very angry with sin. He wants you very angry with the adversary. He wants you very angry with impurity. You see, that's righteous anger. I don't want to do that. He wants the fire and passion of that to come up against sin, not people. Even people who sin against you. So the resolution and the solution for anger is practice kindness. Now that's really hard. God says, return a kind word for an unkind word.
Oh, honey, I tell you, look at any husband and wife, blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, well, I remember when, but it. And then all the unforgiven stuff comes out, the 500 things that never were put away and cleaned up before God, all comes flying out. God says, if you practice kindness, even in the face of unkindness, guess what? People call that stupid. God says, no, that's really good, because you're going to get good at kindness. They're going to get good at staying in the anger. You are going to get good at kindness. It will undo your other problem. Another problem is selfishness. Well, I'm not selfish. Yeah, I think a lot of us are. We're selfish with our time. Well, that's inconvenient. I don't want to go pick up somebody. I just got here. We're selfish. Sometimes you might be generous with your money and selfish with your time and your talent. I don't know, whatever's going on here. But the way to get rid of selfishness is to practice being generous. And God talks about giving to His ministry. He talks about helping. He just gave a list of things, you know, to help those in need. He even tells you, give a little cold drink of water to your enemy. Ooh. Now, he's not telling you, if you're in a war zone, to bring a cup of cold water over to the Taliban. They will shoot you on the way. That's not what he's talking about. Enemy, the one who's aggravating you, the one you have aught against, the individual you just can't work it out with, be kind. He just gives an example. He's not saying bring him a cold, you know, bottle of water. He's giving an example of how he's talking to get rid of that. You serve them with kindness. I remember when the Lord told us that there's a hunk of gold in every heart, and that we needed to dig for that in everybody, and we needed to dig for it with the shovel of kindness. Whoa. Another problem we have is fear. Put away fear, and the way to do that is to practice trust. God will give you ample opportunity to learn to trust Him. He will take, if you have a business, He'll take away one of your accounts. What are you going to do? He Himself might even orchestrate to take away a couple of accounts. Not to punish you, not to have you shake in your boots, so that you have a real, honest to goodness, very measurable opportunity to trust Him. There's other times you live in the world, you got the world, the flesh, and the devil out there, and they're going to be doing some stuff to you too. Who are you going to practice trusting? Another problem is lust. Every time you say lust in today's world, they always think of sexual lust. Lust is not just sexual. That's a great deal of what's going on in the heart of man today because of the type of culture that has crept up. And I'd have to say crept up because many of us have been teaching against it, battling against it, and leading example against it. When our young men think that success is being in a hot tub with six naked women drinking a rum and coke, we're getting close to being doomed. But everything isn't all sexual lust. You can be desiring something so badly that you lust after it. Lust is an inordinate desire. Not just, oh, I think I'd like, you know, beans and rice tonight. That's not what God's talking about. This is an inordinate, a consuming thinking about what you want. And the only way to do that is self-control. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have a whole lot of self-control in the natural. And the reason I know that is I've been in circumstances where I find out I don't have it. Anger would come up, impatience would come up, gluttony would come up, whatever would be going on here. But guess what? What is self-control? Anyone remember that? It's one of the fruits of the Spirit of God. So the God nature, this list that has the problems is the Adam nature. The list that has the solutions is the God nature. So you practice doing the God nature. Now, your Adam nature can't do that. You have to crucify the flesh and say, God, I need your level here. I need your kindness. I'm reading about this. I need to practice self-control. A good way to practice self-control is as the Lord would show you to fast. Fasting from food. Sometimes fasting from places, people, whatever. I mean, there's ways God will help you. If you really want to practice some self-control, ask God. He'll bring some things about for you. The problem is impatience. Hello, the opposite of that is going to be patience. We need to practice patience. And there's an old joke that says, don't pray for patience, because God will bring a whole bunch of circumstances so you get to practice patience. But that's really true. We are never going to have the opportunity to put away the Adam nature and have the God nature come out and practice that over and over and over and over again, unless God gives us some circumstances to practice in. I just finished sharing that today with an individual who is having some extreme difficulties. She works at a large grocery chain, and she said every idiot in the entire state goes to her store and shops there, and they come into her presence. And I go, isn't that wonderful? She looked at me like I had nine heads. I said, you do have a heart that does desire to do the things God's way. Look at what the opportunity he's giving you to practice. Some of these people that come and are such idiots in your presence are hurting people. There's something not right in their lives. You have an opportunity to return kindness for their unkindness. It's going to look really stupid to you and probably everybody else. You better give it to him. No. Return a kind word. Do a kind deed. God gives you practice in that so you get good at it, but it very often will open an opportunity. That person may never have had a kind and loving smile for 20 years because their irascible personality always draws the worst out. They are their own self-fulfilling prophecy. See, nobody likes me. And then they go, yeah, 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 and they act like that, and guess what? Nobody likes them. Be the refreshing cup of water that Jesus is to us. Judgment, another one. Ooh. The only way is to practice justice, and only God has the right justice. We end up being the judge and the jury on every single thing in our lives. And that is so wrong. Just as much as you're hurting and just as much as you're offended by what someone's saying to you, guess what? They may have been offended by what you said to them. They come to you. We have hurting places that we often bump into for each other, sometimes on purpose, but many times unknowingly. And when that hurt place is touched, every one of us knows what that is. I feel rejected. I feel depressed. Whatever it is that come in, I feel demeaned. I feel whatever you're saying or doing, I'm feeling this. Well, sometimes that's because you're just broken in there by things that happened long before that person said something or did something. Deal with you and your responses to what people are doing, not their responses. You are responsible only for your actions, not their reactions to your actions. You're only responsible for your own actions and your own reactions to them. Get it right zoomed back to here. Practice, practice, practice. Hatred is another problem that we run into. And God gives us the remedy. He tells us to love people. But it's not that warm, squishy, I want to hold your hand and run through the waves at Waikiki love. What did God say love is? Go back and look it up again in 1 Corinthians. In 13, starting about verse 12. Love is what? It starts giving some of us the end. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. That is what God says when he says to love. That's what we need to practice. We have a problem of weakness. And the only way to do that is to practice strength. And we don't have what it takes. Admitting that takes humility. And we have to be able to do that. We have to humble ourselves before God. God, I have failed. I did not do this right. I did not feel this right. I did not say this right. I did not think this right. I am sorry. Forgive me. Show me how to fix what I've done. And many times it requires humbling yourself and going back to the one we have greatly grieved and offended and go, you know, I'm really sorry. There's a lady I know, she has been angry and bitter and judgmental and everything for years and years. I mean, 30 years worth of counseling has gone in one ear and out the other, it looked like, but it isn't, you know. It's working because she's writing letters to her relatives saying, you know, growing up I was an angry person, I was judgmental. I rejected you and accused you of rejecting me. I did not love you correctly, and I'm so sorry. Wow. Wow. Too bad it takes a cancer diagnosis and a doctor telling you got 6 months to live. But God says, I don't care. You just come to me. You get it wrapped up. You get it cleaned up, and you practice all the days that you have of your life. And you know what I'm seeing? The more that this lady does this, the better she's feeling. Mm-hmm. She was in hospice. The doctors go, now go home. I'll see you later.
Praise God.
You know, I'm going, wow, I don't know what God's plan is, but hey, the more that bitterness rots the bone stuff that she get out, gee, I'm feeling a little better here. So we'll just see what God's going to do. Some people have a problem with lying. The only way to get over that is you got to practice saying the truth, thinking the truth, living the truth, speaking the truth. Some people have a problem with sadness. There's a lot of people that have, there are chemical reasons, there are medical reasons and stuff for depressions and things like that, but sometimes these are attacks of the adversary. They're ways there's some people I know is how they practice thinking. And when God helps them and shows them, you actually can be happy. You actually can have your joy. God talks about joy unspeakable. And I've had some people say to me, where's the joy unspeakable? It's a miserable life in the Lord. I don't even like him. I go, well, that's your basic problem. We might want to back up a little, ask God to humble it down, ask him to forgive you. Say, God, I need some joy. Now, God says to weep with those who weep and to mourn with those who mourn. So, see, he gives us another flip of the page here. It ain't going to be happy Cheshire Cat running and go, oh, God, no, thank you, Lord. That isn't every day. We got trials. We have tribulations. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you get a free ride. Someone's going to break your leg, steal your car, run off with your daughter. I don't care what it is. Golly, what are you going to do with it is what the difference should be for those who love the Lord and have him as the Lord of their lives. Unrighteousness is another problem. And you get to practice righteousness, not yours. Because we go, well, that's all for you. That's our kind of righteousness. No, God's kind of righteousness. Some people are very negative. You know any negative people?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. You know, sometimes it's just what they've practiced. Stinking thinking is what they talk about in AA.
Yeah.
You know, stinking thinking. My brother, I thank God, he's clean and clear and has been for years and years and years. He's got his 20-something year pin and whatever. And he says something he learned real early. He says you got the good, he calls it the good fairy, the good angel. He says the good fairy's on one side, and he calls it the poo-poo fairy, but he used a little more colloquial expression. The poo-poo fairy's on this shoulder. He says you have to practice not listening to the poo-poo fairy because he's going to be talking junk in your ear. And God is telling us that on a higher level. Don't listen to that junk. The adversary is dark. He is full of depression. He is full of anger. He is full of condemnation. He is full of guilt. Every single thing that God is not, he already said, therefore, now, Romans 8:1, read it yourself. Therefore, now, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So when you're feeling condemnation and guilt, guess what? It ain't coming from God. Now, whether it's coming from the world, from yourself, the flesh, or the devil, I don't know. But all you need to know is it ain't God. You resist it, you reject it, and you let him fill you with what's holy and good. Some people complain. You know those complainers? We need to practice rejoicing. Rejoicing. And it even says right there in James, the first chapter, the craziest thing I ever read when I first came to know the Lord. I'd never read the Bible. I was 30 years old. I started reading the Bible. I finally get up to James after a long time because I started at the beginning. I didn't know you could start anywhere. I just started like a book. I started reading the beginning. And Genesis, and I went, I can't even pronounce half the names, but I'm going to keep reading until something sticks. And, you know, so anyways, as time went on, I got to James. And then I read, brethren, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. And I went, you've got to be kidding me. This is one tough book. But only for the sin nature, not for the God nature. But then it explains. Because when you get through those trials, it gives you perseverance, meaning you can practice keeping on going no matter how much it hurts. And then you get endurance. And I go, see, it's like I've been running marathons and stuff. And I go, you know, that's true. You got to push on through. You got to get past 16 miles. Then you got to do 18. Then you got to do 20. Then you got to do 22. When you're practicing, that ain't even the race. Wow, Lord. I learned that my body can actually get build up endurance by persevering in the training program. That's all God is saying.
Wow.
This ain't no quick little overnight thing. This is a journey. You have to learn how to pace yourself. You have to learn how to have stamina and keep going. Perseverance is going to give you endurance. You'll be able to last through the pain. You'll be able to last through the taunting. You'll be able to last through the temptation. You'll be able to last through the argument and the hatred and the anger. You'll be able to get through those things and on the other side, the God way. Do you know any whiners? Well, whining is like singing in the negative.
Me, I need me, 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 me. It doesn't work my way. You never did this. How come you don't do that? You always say this. You always go there. You never think of me.
Well, why don't you start singing a little song? God says to sing his praises. Start singing some of the good things of the Lord. And if you're a whiner, and some people are, if you're a whiner, I'm going to challenge you to open up the Psalms, and I'm going to challenge you to sing them to yourself every day. If you're a whiner, every day read one Psalm, only sing it. No one needs to hear you. Just sit in your room, do whatever. Sing the Psalms. God's going to change you mightily. Some people are nags. Most men would go, me, 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 me. I know about a nag. No. No, men call it nagging. Women call it reminding. You know, hello. It's just, it's semantics. It's a different world. Guy world, girl world. You know, I mean, those kind of things are a little different. But you understand what I'm saying. Some people are nagging, nagging. You never can meet their measure. You gotta do this. God says to be an encourager. Wow. Practice encouragement and you won't be nagging. Some people are impulsive. I tend to do that. I tend to jump on things. But God is training me to be restrained. I have to practice restraint. Every good idea that comes into my head, I can't jump on it. Every phone call I get, I can't jump on that either. Restraint. Holy restraint. I have to practice it. And there are some people, this is the last one we're going to cover here, they're just plain stupid. Now, I heard something a while ago, you can't fix stupid. But God can. You see, though, there's hope out there for anyone. Some people, you just look like, I can't believe you're this stupid. Why would you do? I mean, we look at, why would you do such a stupid thing? Why would you quit your job just because you got angry that day? How stupid can you be? You know, I mean, why would you run off and do this with this person? How stupid is that? What were you thinking? And most times they'll say, I wasn't thinking. Impulsiveness and negativity and sadness, these all start piling up together, and it's almost a guarantee you're going to do something really stupid. Well, the only way to counteract that is to practice wisdom. God's word is wisdom. What he says to think, what he says to do, how he says to act is wisdom. It's not a bunch of ugly rules. It's only ugly to your sin nature who desires everything God said not to do. The mind of man is enmity to God. The heart of man is full of wickedness. It is desperately wicked, is the term God says. You come to God desperately wicked with a thinker that is an enemy. It is enmity. It is against God. And you use that to make your decisions about God? No, we have to put all that away, reject it. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Fill yourself with the Scriptures. Fill yourself with prayer. Fill yourself with praise in His presence. That's what you practice. And everyone's still going to have, guess what? You can love God and be saved and be practiced. Guess what? You're still going to have to do your laundry, honey. You're still going to have to iron, if anyone irons anymore. You're still going to have to make your meals. You're still going to have to get up and go to work every day. You're still going to have to be able to do all the things you have to do in life. You just don't get to sit in your couch and flip through the TV channels. The difference is how you're going to do everything, how you're going to be at work, what your attitude is toward work, what your attitude is toward people. All this stuff is going to change. This is not all there is, if anyone hasn't noticed. We are still yet to go home to heaven. This is the ugly place. This is the place of sin. You could be so holy, you walk on water, you're still going to have problems because other people aren't. You're going to struggle with what they do against you. You might be super holy. Someone might break into your house still. You could be super holy. Somebody might steal your van. You could be super holy. Somebody might hit your kid. You can suffer from the sins of others against you. God, what are you going to do with that? You bunch of holy rollers ain't going to do nothing. Humble yourself before the living God. Ask Him to help you to practice His ways. But you're never going to know His ways until you get into the Scriptures. And we're going to end in Galatians. Fantastic chapters. I mean, just these things are so rich and powerful. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 1, look at what it says. God did not set up rules and regulations. He is not some wrathful God that people have been teaching for years and years. He's not some ugly God up there waiting to squash you like a bug the minute you make an error, the minute you misunderstand, or the minute, God forbid, you sin, either on purpose or in deception. He's not up there ready to strike you down. He loves you. He wants fellowship with you. He said, I have made everything for you. Mankind has messed it up and sullied it, not God. And He said, I can make life right for you. I want to sup with you, so to speak. I want to talk to you every day. I want you to sense my presence. I want you to have my joy. I want you to have my strength.
And look what he says. He tells us right up front, chapter 5 in Galatians verse 1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Not a free-for-all like it is. We have a moral free-for-all going on. Anything, anytime, any place, anywhere, anyone. Whatever you think is right is right. What a bunch of foolishness from the pit of hell. This is a freedom. I have a freedom in Jesus Christ that increases in its freedom every single day. And I understand what Paul said now. He says, I am free to do anything. It didn't mean he was free to sin. I'm free to do anything because his nature was so caught up in the nature of God that anything he wanted to do was a God thing anyways. He had no restrictions. He didn't care if the meat was offered to idols. It didn't make any difference to him. But if it made a difference to you, he wouldn't be bothered with it. Because he said, all that is foolishness anyways. He wasn't coming against God and God's principles. He wasn't saying, do whatever you want just because you think you're right with God. God will let you know when you're right with God. And he's not here to crush us. It's for freedom. He says, therefore, keep standing firm. Keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And some of those who are listening in on the computer on this, and some of those who are here today, and those that we know, golly, what slavery drugs and alcohol are. What slavery hatred and anger is. What slavery rejection and denial is. It is a slave existence. You are stuck with that. You can't get away from it. I love one of the songs that we sing. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Jesus Christ sets you free.
Amen.
The bondage of sin is lifted from you, but you have to practice staying with him. We've practiced far too long the other way, and God knows that. It's like a kid that comes to school. We had our little school here for 14 years. God really blessed us. Many people went through it, and God did a marvelous job there. But some of them came in, and I tell you, it was hard to have them unlearn something that they had learned incorrectly. Certain ways to pronounce things. They didn't have some of their consonants right or some of their blends or something, and they had learned them incorrectly. And it was so they would read incorrectly, so they'd have incorrect comprehension. And it was so hard to undo that, but it took a lot of practice. We come to God having learned it incorrectly, how to handle the things in life. And it takes a long time. Some are quicker learners than others, whatever. Don't worry about that. Don't look to the right or the left, he tells you. And I want you comparing. You just stick with him. He's going to get to every single thing that's a problem, and he's going to work it out. Now, we'd have to live to be 4,000 to cover every single thing, but he's going to get to his priority in you. You let him get to your heart, and you let him lead you. It's so, so powerful. And then the last, we'll finish up. Turn to verse 16. Boy, I tell you, these are powerful. I've read this so many times. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Mm. Plain and simple, no excuses, can't make it any plainer. It's no one else's fault. How many times have we either said or heard, you made me angry? God goes, no. If you walk by the Spirit, you cannot walk by the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another. You are never going to blend your flesh in with what God says. So that you may not do the things that you please. Whoa, yes, Lord. Verse 18, but you are led. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Ooh, I love that. That doesn't mean you get to do what you want. It just means that law, that is nothing. Your law of love, your commitment to the Lord, the nature of him within you ruling, you will not be sinning, which means you'll still be keeping the law, but it won't be because it's the law. Wow. Verse 19, and it gives the deeds of the flesh. Just those words alone. This is what the flesh is. This is what we have had a tendency to practice. This is what we did up to the point that we came to Jesus Christ. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. That doesn't mean when you come to know him and you fall back or do whatever. That's no excuse for anyone. Paul covered that. He said, listen, now don't be scared away by what God says. He has mercy on you when these things happen to you. He has mercy on you when you don't meet his measure after you're one of his. But it says, oh, that does not mean that you can go out and sin. May it never be. May it never be, because he has mercy that you have a freedom to do that. No, no, no. And verse 22, he does it. God, he gives us this stuff that sounds kind of dark and ugly. He never leaves us hanging. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is what you get with the nature of God. This is what you practice, letting the God nature come up. This is what's going to come out from you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Hello, my friend. Self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Don't just chit-chat about it. Practice, practice, practice. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, or envying one another. Oh, hey, look what I got. Hey, how come you didn't get this? No, 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 no. This is your life with him. You get that straight with him, it's going to make it straight right here, one with another. So you are what you practice. Make sure you practice the nature of God ruling you and not the Adam nature. God bless you.